TBQ. Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing well today. I hope your life is going well, which is always a good thing here in September in the New York area. It is lovely. And it was not such a great morning, but we are getting there. And we're going to talk a little bit about religion and marriage today. How many of you have married somebody out of your faith? How many of you don't really have a faith and then married somebody bigger into their faith? Does it make a difference? Years ago, I think it did. Does it make a difference today? I don't know. And I'm certainly not the expert on this. Although I have actually done that, and it doesn't make any difference in our lives. And I'd like to see if I'm similar to most people. We're going to talk in just a moment with Dale McGowan, who has written In Faith and In Doubt, How Religious Believers and Non-Believers Can Create Strong Marriages and Lovely Families. Dr. Dale McGowan is a Harvard Human of the Year, which is interesting and fun, teaches workshops on secular parenting, the executive director of the Charitable Foundation Beyond Belief. This is a very interesting topic because I think our world is changing with religion, and I think with people under 30, it's changing very much as differently than people over 50. So we're going to talk about that now with Dale McGowan, and I want to welcome you to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Just fine. Thanks, Shannon. Good to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is changing, isn't it? This is a very different landscape with religion than it was years ago. It used to be a difficult thing, and then you had to convert to your partner's religion to make the marriage work. That doesn't happen anymore, does it?
Oh, absolutely. It occasionally happens where that requirement is still felt by one of the partners, but it's much less common than it used to be. There's been a great increase in our comfort with all kinds of diversity in this society, racial diversity, religious diversity, sexual orientation, and so on. And it's largely because we are more of a mixed society than we have ever been before. We're crossing those lines and living and working among people of different perspectives. And so naturally that finds its way into marriages as well.
And you are in you are an atheist, right? So, and your wife is a non-atheist. And is that still true, or did she convert you somehow?
We have had both situations, but she is actually non-religious now. She was Southern Baptist when we were married, and for the first 13 years of our marriage, and then entirely under her own influence, she began reading and thinking about it and decided that she was non-religious. So we were a mixed couple for 13 years. Mm-hmm. We've been the same for 9 years. And similar to what you said in the intro, one of the things that's really striking is how little difference that actually made in our marriage. People expect that that would just be a dramatic change. And the fact is, we had very little conflict before, and we have very little conflict now around those issues.
Do you think people are just more accepting of someone else's thoughts about religion, about politics? Many people are, you know, different political persuasions, as the same as religious persuasions. Do you think that just does not matter, that people come on a different level and we don't have to be the same in order to love and share a life together?
Well, I think it's partly a greater acceptance of what someone else believes, but it's also a change in the nature of what it means to be religious or non-religious in America today. There was a time when to be religious was to embrace a lot of the doctrines and dogmas of your faith. And now it's much more common to have someone who says, you know what, I agree with this aspect and this aspect, but all these other things, I disagree with my denomination. I still love my church. I still wear the label proudly, but when someone is flexible in that way, they find it much easier to accept someone and live with someone who is doing the same thing from the other direction.
And, of course, you have to determine that before you marry someone, how flexible they are or are not, because you clearly say trying to change someone is not going to work, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the major mistakes that people make. If they get into a mixed marriage with the assumption that they're somehow going to change their partner. For example, if I had married my wife as a Baptist and said, well, someday I'm going to change her mind, and then put pressure on her in the marriage, that would have led to a lot of tension and conflict. We had a survey associated with the book, and nearly 1,000 people took the survey, and sure enough, those who had a high desire to convert their partner experienced the greatest amount of tension and conflict in their marriages. So you have to go into it saying, I accept this difference. I love you as you are. I didn't need anything to change about my wife. That made for a very good relationship from the beginning. And then when she changed on her own, it meant that there was very little that actually changed between us.
Mm-hmm. And if it was important to her that you share in some of this or learn something about her religion, I mean, many couples will say, you don't have to think like I do or convert to my religion, but I'd like you to share in some of, maybe not the religious aspects, but the traditions of it, so that you can enjoy family time where everybody gets together maybe on a certain holiday. You know, you might not want to convert, but can you share in their religion and accept it?
Oh, exactly. I think that's the way many of the conversations go. Mm. There's an assumption sometimes that, an example is church going. One of the things that my wife, she wanted to continue going to church after we were married, you know, once we talked about the difference, and I said, well, of course, that's fine. And I knew that she would like me to be there with her, because it's a different experience when you go alone and when you're there having that that experience of reflection and quiet with another person. She experienced church in a different way from the way I did, but that was fine. It was something that was very meaningful to her, and I was very happy to participate in it with her. And it's similar to other things that you say, holidays and other traditions and so on, exactly the same kind of approach. What you have to do is decide what your negotiables and your non-negotiables are. And there were some things that were negotiable for me. I'm perfectly willing to engage in these traditions. And there were some things that were negotiable for her. For example, she wanted to have our kids baptized.
Mm.
And I said, I'm a little uncomfortable with that because it sort of feels like the church is claiming them from a very early age. And we decided on a dedication instead, which was a much more of a low-key welcoming to the community and not that same sort of ritual that made me uncomfortable. So we were able to talk about these things and meet in the middle.
Mm, that sounds good. And so family pressure is something that probably, maybe not in your situation, but I'm sure in a lot of families it does. What do you do about the family pressure if both of you are fine with it, but an in-law is not?
Oh, exactly. I was very fortunate. My wife's family is quite religious. Their religion is a very important part of them, Southern Baptists.
Mm.
Many ministers in the family, Southern Baptist pastors. But they were wonderful about accepting my perspective. I think it took some adjustment, but we had built up a lot of personal capital. They knew me personally, and it made things go quite a bit better.
Mm.
But there are certainly people who have a more difficult extended family situation. The single most important thing is that the couple is united in their support for each other. So if there is pressure coming from the extended family and the religious family member, for example, is just silent, you know, doesn't stand up for his or her partner, that's going to lead to a lot of tension in the relationship. You have to be willing to say, I married this person. He's a wonderful husband and father. We don't share the same beliefs, but we have a lot of the same values,
mm-hmm.
which is much more important in a relationship. And if you can advocate for each other, that ends up being something that strengthens the relationship tremendously.
Yeah, I can understand that. You mentioned children, and that's a big one. Because when you have children, all of a sudden, you often go back to your roots and you want to raise them the way you were raised. And,
right.
You know, and or you feel you have to agree together because you have to make one decision. Do you have to make one decision?
You really don't in the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
What you do have to do is come to the same conclusion about your approach. But the approach that works the best is to agree that the children are going to be able to make up their own minds about their identity and to really mean that, to really work for that. That was something that was very, very important to both of us. My wife would have been horrified if the kids had simply accepted her Southern Baptist worldview without thinking about it, because it was a family tradition. She really valued thinking, critical thinking, and autonomy in the same way that I did. So we determined early on and talked about this, that the kids were going to be free to ask us any questions that they wanted. We would give them experiences. They went to a Lutheran preschool. You know, we had a lot of experiences on all sides. And whenever they would talk to me and ask my opinion about something, I would give them my opinion, and I'd say, just be sure to check with Mom, because I know she has a different opinion, and then you get to make up your own mind. And that's a very powerful approach. If you can agree on that,
right,
lots of other problems go away.
Absolutely. And introducing them to different religions, I think, is brilliant for children. I've always done that and gone to different churches, because I just think that they should look at all these different feelings and beliefs about God and religion and about the way to live their life, so they can make a really good decision, not just based on yours. But that said, it certainly can make it difficult for the children to kind of feel one-sided, so you have to open it up for them. All in all, when people get married, they often get married in a church. They have to decide that. This has to be decided early on, it sounds like, especially if someone's very religious, because it could be a deal-breaker, right?
Oh, goodness, yes. If that particular ritual is important to one partner and the other one won't have it, then you're stuck. But our situation is a good example. A couple sorted out in all different ways. But my wife wanted to have a traditional religious wedding, and I didn't care at all. I thought that was perfectly fine. At that point in my life, my atheism was not a large part of my identity. I was just as much of that opinion. But the biggest part of my identity was actually music. I had degrees in music, and if we had terrible music at the wedding, now that would have been offensive to me. So that was something I was put in charge of. I got to select all the music, and it was wonderful. And she was able to select the readings and the rituals that we did and that sort of thing, and it was just fine with me. So it's another example of sorting out your negotiables and your non-negotiables and finding a meeting place.
That sounds fair and very good, because there's so, you know, it's changed so much, as I said earlier. People have just, religion and believing in it has not been as definite as it was years ago. So what's happening to the generation now that's coming up, or those under 30? Are they going to churches as much as people over 50 and 60 did in the past?
No, it's the least religious generation in American history. About one-third are non-religious. But what's even more interesting to me is the attitude that they have toward religion. They have a much more relaxed attitude toward religion, much more of a coexistent attitude toward it. And the religious people in that generation tend to be less dogmatic, less mm-hmm. doctrinaire. So then there's a meeting ground. Both of them are coexisting and feeling very relaxed about each other's positions. I think it's a very, very positive development in our culture.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that there's more spirituality mixed in with traditional religion in the up-and-coming generations. And I know that we baptized my daughter at Norman Vincent Peale's church in the city. And as I look at the church now when we go there, I see the very difference of the people that were very traditional and those that are more spiritual but want just a touch of religion. So as we change, our marriages have to change. And this book really talks about that. And anybody who's getting married in a different religion really needs to look at a book like this that really explains the differences and how you can have these differences and be married as long and happily as you have been. The book is In Faith and Doubt, How Religious Believers and Non-Believers Can Create Strong Marriages and Loving Families. Dale McGowan, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks very much, Shannon. It was my pleasure.
It was terrific. Thank you. Everybody, if you know anybody who's getting married, this is a terrific book for them. Everything is always on shannonscorner.com, so just go there. There's a direct link to the book, and you can learn more there. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about books and different topics, so stay where you are, and we'll be back here in just a few on